Good morning. I'd like to greet each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Trust we keep singing that song and mean it. It's going to help us with our ungratefulness, isn't it? All the way my Savior leads me, whether it's through the mountaintop or through the valley, we trust that God is leading us. We give that to Him. Allow Him to change us and work in our hearts. I think that's going to help our need of unthankfulness and ungratefulness. I was challenged this morning in the devotional and the Sunday school lesson and had to look at my own heart for a little bit. It's good to look at my own heart for a little bit and realize that, you know what, I needed that too. All of us do. I greet you again in the name of Jesus. Welcome to all of you, and also bring you greetings from the Leola congregation in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. So find your place there, but we would love to have you visit there. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I'd like to start reading at verse 6, read to the end of the chapter. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my ways are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What a beautiful picture is painted here in these verses. And the book of Isaiah is one of my favorite books of the Bible. There's just so much beautiful language and beautiful prose throughout those chapters. And this one here gives a beautiful picture of God sitting in the heavens in full control of everything. Of everything that happens, the rain comes down, God sends the snow, God brings forth the seasons, he brings life to the seed. His word that he gives out does not return void. In other words, it accomplishes, it does what happens exactly the way God said it. And when we're comforted in that, when we take and we find our place in that, we can go with joy. We can be led in peace. Peace is something that mankind has coveted and looked for and tried to find through years and years. Peace. What is peace? Well, there's a beautiful picture of peace here in these chapters, in this chapter this morning. What a world it would be if we lived in this type of a setting, in this type of a picture of peace, if this were actually reality. We know it is not because we live in a broken world. I'd like to read a poem here this morning, which maybe you have, maybe you're familiar with, and maybe you're not. The poem is written by a woman named Amy Carmichael. He said, I will forget the dying faces, the empty places. They shall be filled again. O voices moaning deep within me, cease. But vain the word, vain, vain. Not in forgetting lieth peace. He said, I will crowd action upon action. The strife of faction shall stir me and sustain. O tears that drown the fire of manhood cease. But vain the word, vain, vain, not in endeavor lieth peace. He said, I will withdraw me and be quiet. Why meddle in life's riot? Shut be my door to pain. Desire thou dost befool me, thou shalt cease. But vain the word, vain, vain, for not in aloofness lieth peace. He said, I will submit. I am defeated. God hath depleted my life of its rich gain. O futile murmurings, why will ye not cease? But vain the word, vain, vain. Not in submission lieth peace. He said, I will accept the breaking sorrow, which God tomorrow will to his son explain. Then did the turmoil deep within me cease. Not vain the word, not vain, for in acceptance lieth peace. And that's the title I used for the message this morning, In Acceptance Lieth Peace. And I did not look at the Sunday school lesson before I chose this subject. And I thought about how interesting those two tie together. Acceptance of God's provision, of God's working and moving in my life, is the door to thankfulness. A little bit about Amy Carmichael. This is taken from the book, A Chance to Die, The Life and Legacy of Amy Carmichael, written by Elizabeth Elliot. She wrote this on the back cover of the book. Amy Carmichael understood true discipleship and lived it out. At a very young age, she felt called to the mission field, followed God's guidance, and eventually went to India, where she would spend 53 years without a furlough. While there, Amy founded the Dhanavar Fellowship, a refuge for children in moral danger, children who were orphaned or unwanted and sold to the temple, to be sold to the temple. She became a mother for these children, and they called her that. So what's the connection between Amy's story, of her life story, the poem she wrote, and what we're looking at this morning? Well, partway along her time there in India, she had a broken leg that left her bedridden for quite a time and in great pain for the rest of her life. She gave up a life of wealth and comfort in England to go to India at the age of 28 and serve there unmarried till her death. So was it a pleasant life? No. Did she have a lot of hardship? Yes. And it seemed to be the story of her life that she gives in this poem here. As she tries to understand the various stages of life, the stages of acceptance in her life. Peace. I mentioned that that's something mankind has been looking for forever. Peace, peace. Jeremiah speaks of that, of a time when there would be a cry made for peace, peace, but there's no peace to be found. Isaiah the prophet remonstrated with King Hezekiah for showing off his wealth to the king of Babylon. And then Isaiah prophesied that those things would eventually be taken to the king of Babylon. And what was Hezekiah's response to that? Well, Hezekiah was a man of faith, a good king of Israel. He had his fleshly human moments, and he replied, "Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?" Yeah, I think that's the way we all tend to look at it. We want peace today. We want peace now. Whether what comes after us or what comes before us seems to be less of a concern. Obviously, we can't change what came before us. But let's live for peace today with a vision of peace for the future. There is children, a new generation rising up among us. Can we teach peace? The life of peace, inner peace in our hearts. To our children, the next generation. Now, we looked at some little bit of scripture background there on this thing of peace. I'd like to bring it a little more into more present history. World War I was called the war to end all wars. It didn't work out very well. Following the end of that war, there was a British officer who was heard to remark that after the war to end war, they seemed to be pretty successful at making a peace to end all peace. And that turned out to be quite true. The Prime Minister of Britain at the beginning of World War II had met with Hitler and come back and declared peace in our time. I'm sure he probably wished he could have taken that back. He told the British people to go home and sleep quietly in their beds because peace has been found. Unfortunately, that did not turn out to be correct. But mankind has tried over and over again through history, tried to find peace. The United Nations was formed. The League of Nations was formed, all in an effort to find peace. And what does the world look like today? Peace seems out of touch and out of reach. And sometimes the efforts to bring forth peace has brought out more conflict as mankind grapples with this thing, but they're looking in all the wrong places. And if we don't look in the right place for us today, we're not going to find peace either. Where is peace? Where can peace be found? Well, I looked at our in the scriptures, and I looked at history. Now I look at you and me today, this morning. Where is peace? Have you found that inner peace? The peace that passes all understanding. When the world is flying to pieces around you, do you have a peace that people can look on, the world can look on, searching souls can look on and say, what is that that I'm missing? How in something like that can they find peace? Well, first point is we'd like to look at man's feeble attempt to find peace, and I gave you some introductory thoughts to that. But we live in a world that's destroyed and being destroyed by sin and wickedness. You know all that. You can see that very clearly. Scripture warns us to expect such. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13. It's going to happen. This world's going to get worse. Why are we surprised to find out that that's actually true? Scripture tells us that's what's going to happen. That there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and those things are just going to continue. Evil men are going to get worse and worse, and we see that today. It seems like there's no level of wickedness and evil that mankind somewhere isn't going to stoop to try to dig into. Don't be surprised. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up fighting sin and wickedness. It's going to increase. And of course, that means painful things will happen to us. It will. No one here this morning is exempt from that reality. And, you know, we don't, maybe this may sound kind of harsh, but we don't really know what pain and suffering really is. We don't. We were looking at, or actually tomorrow at the Cup and Cross class at Bible school, we're going to be looking at the Hutterites and their story. And if you enjoy history and would like to maybe get a grasp of how good we have it, read the history of the Hutterites in Europe and the struggles and trials and distress they went through, at one point down to 67 people. And it seemed like the end was just in sight. But they were chased throughout Europe. They'd find a place to settle, a place that would accept them, and it would seem like for just a short time they could find a little bit of peace, and then they would be driven from there, and their stuff would be taken and stolen, and they'd find another home where they could call a place they could call home for a little bit, and then they would get chased from there. Just a story of just suffering and suffering. Painful things. But yet people saw something in that group and they wanted to be a part of it anyhow. Peace. We deal with painful things. It could be grief from the loss of a loved one. It could be financial loss. It could be loss of health. A close friend that betrays us or disappoints us. Many things that could happen. And then we look at ourselves and say, you know what? I'm also capable of giving pain and causing hurt. Well, what did Amy say here in the first stanza of this poem? she talks, you know, for some reason she knew, uses the male pronouns here. He said, but I still think this is her story. She tries to forget. Forget the pain. Vain the word, vain, vain, not in forgetting lieth peace. Forgetting, and we try to do that, don't we? We deal with hurtful things, we deal with painful things, we deal with things that would try to disrupt our peace, and we try to just forget it and put it aside. Just forget it, move on. Just ignore those bad things, pretend they don't exist, just shove them out of your mind. And that works for a while, doesn't it? It might work for a while. But pain and sin is not easily pushed aside, and God will not allow it to be so, because there is lessons, some very real lessons that we can learn through difficult times, and we don't learn them by pushing them aside and forgetting them. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Forgetting does not bring peace. It does not bring peace. In fact, as we reflect upon those things, there are many things we can learn. And I'm also interested at times, and last evening we spent some time out by the campfires and we were telling some stories. And there were some stories told of some of the there that had some real difficult times, not easy times. And it's interesting how we can look back on those times and laugh about them. If we've allowed them to heal, we can look back and actually laugh about those times. Those are special moments, those difficult times. And when we were in them, it was painful and it wasn't very fun. But I don't think forgetting is the answer to find peace. And apparently Amy tried to do that and found it unsuccessful. What did she try next? Well, work. Just work. Work, 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 work. Just keep busy. You have so much happening in your life that you don't even have time to stop and think about the pain and sin of the past or the present. Just go, go, go till you're so exhausted that somehow you can find some sleep and then you get up in the next morning and go do it. Anybody watch, see anybody to try that? I want to ask if you tried it yourself, because I think probably all of us should probably put our hands up. Just fill your life with stuff. Fill it with music, hobbies, travel, entertainment. Just fill it with stuff. Just go, 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 go. What did she say? I will crowd action upon action. Just do more and more and more. Brothers and sisters, we're not made to live like that. It is important for us to sit back and find moments of reflection and allow God's Spirit to speak into our hearts. Elijah had to stop in the cave there and allow that still small voice to speak to him. And God needs those moments to speak to us today as well. We're not made to live upon constant activity. And for some, it can be simply just because we have many responsibilities, many jobs to do. But for some, it can be a way of drowning out, trying to drown out things that we don't want to deal with, pain from the past, sin, whatever it is. Full schedules do not allow us to rise above those things of the past that would pull us down. Not an endeavor lath peace. Well, then she tries aloofness. Not an aloofness, not lieth peace. I will withdraw me and be quiet. Why meddle in life's riot? Shut be my door to pain. Yeah. Just disconnect. You ever see somebody do that? And probably you've done in your own life too. Just disconnect. It's too painful to interact with other people. You know, I try to help somebody, I get hurt. Just disconnect. Disconnect and withdraw from each other. Live in my own little world. You know what comes right along with that, though? Is a disconnect from God, too. Those two are intermixed. Those two are interconnected. When we withdraw from each other, we inevitably withdraw from God. Because who is God's image? We all are. And if we're going to disconnect from each other, we're in a sense also, I believe, disconnecting from God. We stop talking with each other. We stop sharing with each other. We stop encouraging with each other. We stop supporting each other. And still peace eludes. And still we do not find peace. It's not found in withdrawal. It's not. Submission. And the word here is used, carries the idea of defeat. He said, I will submit. I am defeated. God hath depleted my life of its rich gain. See the connection? Now we're blaming God for our problems. Just give up. Stop trying. Everything is bad or will soon be bad if it isn't already. Everyone has left me down, and now even God left me down. That's the story of our Sunday school lesson, isn't it? And this soul also ends in discouragement, depression, and despair. It doesn't find peace. It's not found in defeat. It's not found in giving up. The problems do not go away. They're still there. Who of us have not tried all four of these in some way or other? I think I have. I think I've dealt with all four of these in various points in my life, trying to find peace, to grapple with the questions of life that don't seem to have answers. And I'm thankful this morning that Amy didn't stop at those at the fourth stanza in her life and also in her poem. But she went on, I will accept the breaking sorrow which God tomorrow will to his son explain. You know, there's many questions in life that we're not going to be able to answer. Why they happened? Why did God allow this into my life? We may never have the answer. Most likely we will never have the answer to that question. But still we go and we accept that God knows what is best for me. So I'd like to look at acceptance, the pathway to peace. What is the pathway to peace? Must we try all these four methods to find peace and only to fail in the end? Well, maybe that's a natural progression of life, but shame on us if we stop there. Shame on us if we stop there. Are we doomed and living out our existence, jumping from one of these four and back again, trying to relate and grapple with these things? No, that will not bring peace. It is only by acceptance of what God has done and is doing in my life this morning and in your life. Acceptance that God knows what's best. Now, how does that happen? You know, we live in a techie age, and we like things that work when we push the button. If only this could work that way. If acceptance of life could only come by the push of a button, an easy fix. Or is there an app on my phone for this? No app for acceptance. It's only, first of all, as we find and commit ourselves to faith as the anchor. Faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You must first believe that he is. Is there a God? Is he interested in my life? That's something no one can do for you. You can only do that for yourself. If you're going to come to God, if you're going to find acceptance in God's plan for your life, you must first of all believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the second part of that verse does not happen unless we first accept that God is who he said he is. What did he tell Moses when Moses questioned him, and when God wanted to send Moses to Egypt? He said, I am that I am. Not I wasn't, not I am here now. He said, I am that I am. And that just that covers the span of all time from beginning. I can't say to end, can I? I suppose time on this earthly life comes to an end, but God's time never comes to an end. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. So it takes faith. It takes faith. Has mankind crawled out of a primordial slime millions of years ago and slowly evolved from a fish-like creature into an ape-like creature and into a human being and to what we are here today. Is that what happened, or did God do it? And all that supposedly by random chance, as some would tell us. No, I think that is a recipe for failure in finding peace. To assume that we are all here by random chance, I find much more comfort in the fact that our faith and Scripture says that we were created by a wise supernatural being who loves us and cares for us and knows us by name. The verse says he calls us by name. He calls us people by his name, by their names. We all like when people know us by our name. Something special when we meet and we call each other by name. I can't do that to all of you here this morning, but I know I can to some of you. But that's it gives us a sense of belonging and a sense of identity and a sense of value. And God gives that to us. Are we living and eking out a existence here on planet Earth just for my own pleasure and for this life only? What a depressing thought. I believe God placed you and me here for a special purpose, for his purpose, a purpose that he designed and that he planned and he made for us. And we can find peace in our hearts as we accept God's plan for us. And we're fulfilling it. We're living it out. Which faith are you? Which faith have you accepted? The faith that God has made you special, has made you for a purpose, or the fact that you're just here by random chance, and that takes faith to believe that as well. Both those thought processes take faith. May we choose faith that God knows what is best for me. The acceptance of the pathway to peace is that God believes that God is exactly who he says he is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he talks about that here in Isaiah 55. The richness and awesomeness of God. Number two, how do we find acceptance? Well, we accept God as sovereign. And you could turn to Psalm 139. Here, we'd like to just look at a few verses there in Psalm 139. Verses 13 to 18. For thou hast possessed my reins. This is David, a psalm of David. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Isn't that a precious thought? That God curiously wrought us, curiously made us, verse 15 says. This wasn't by random chance. This wasn't by happenstance. God himself did this. You and I were created by God, special, unique, with his plan and purpose in mind. What a mighty God we serve. Thine eyes did see my substance, verse 16, and in thy book all my members were written. And I don't know how to translate all that necessary, but I just see the marvelous handiwork of God through those verses in creating each of us. Each of us after his own image. We could also look at our text verses in verses 8 to 11 where God says that my thoughts aren't your thoughts, your ways aren't my ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, how high is the heavens above the earth? How many miles is there between that? Stop and consider that. we see such a small, limited perspective of life. But God sees from the heavens, and he sees he's miles, miles and miles above us. This same God whose thoughts and ways are higher than mine, way higher than mine, created you and me and superintends the events and happenings in my life. God allows those things. That's a tremendous source of comfort and strength to the Christian this morning. It can be, as we accept the difficult things that life brings to us. Is it possible that this awesome God we serve, that can do all these things, he can speak the word in the world into existence? Because the verse in Psalms that talks about, he just breathed it into existence. I can't bring it up exactly how I'm in my mind, but just by the spoken word, just by the breath of his voice, he breathed all the universe into existence. What a mighty God we serve. Is it possible that this God, this awesome God that can do so much, would actually allow painful things into my life? We know sometimes we get caught up with that. We think, well, God can do so much. Why can't you take this away? Why can't you fix this? And Paul himself grappled with this. The Apostle Paul himself grappled with this, requesting three times that this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, that God would take it away. Paul, who was capable himself of doing divine miracles, beseeched God that God would take this difficult thing away from him. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. God allowed that. God wanted that in Paul's life for his own good. Does not God not also want the same thing for us at times? You know, we can accept the creation story. I trust we all believe this morning that God created the world. We accept that almost without question. But then we struggle sometimes to accept how God superintends the events of our lives. If God can do that, he can also do and be involved in our lives as well. And he will allow pain and hardship and loss in our life. May we not limit God by saying, yeah, God, you created it, but now you don't care about me. He does. And that, I remind myself, is somewhat a form of unbelief. When we want to just put God at creation, and then we don't want to accept what God is allowing in my life today. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. That verse has challenged me over the years. All things. We can probably accept that some things work together for good. We might even be able to accept that most things work together for good. Can we accept that all things work together for my good? The difficult person in my life, the one that just grates on me and always rubs me the wrong way, is that for my good? Is that for my good? The financial difficulty I may find myself in, the health difficulty I may find myself in, all things, there's no exceptions in there. All things, I'm challenged by that. Have been challenged by that many times in my own life. It works together for good. But you know what? It will only work together for good if I allow it to. In acceptance lieth peace. If I'm gonna kick against the pricks, if I'm gonna get bitter and upset, then that availability of good in my life has been, I have taken it away. God still allows it for my good, and it can work together for my good, only if I let it, only if we let it. Number three, another way of how we find acceptance or peace in acceptance, well, it's acceptance of our sinful world. And I've talked about this somewhat already. I just want to reiterate this, that in our sinful, broken world that we live in, bad things will happen. And there will always be sickness and pain and trouble and death. It seems like the past while there's been quite a few deaths of people that I have known. Some of them for many years and some for not as much. Death will come. Death will come to those around us. Job recognized this when he said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Yes, I think we can all identify with that. Let us remember we do live in a broken, sinful world, in a sin-cursed world, and things will go wrong, things will go bad. But God is still sovereign. That sovereignty does not go away. And I'm thankful this morning that through those many difficult things in life, whatever it is, and you fill in the blanks, I don't know what you are relating to or dealing with this morning. We ask why sometimes, why this, why that? And I'm thankful that I don't need to have an answer for all those questions. We'd sort of like to in our human minds. We'd sort of like to know because it somehow makes sense as we go through difficult times to understand what is happening and why God is doing this. But I don't need to know. Acceptance is understanding the fact that I don't need to explain this. And the world does, those outside of Christ don't have this option. And many will grapple with these things until the day they die. With the things that went wrong or the evil things in this world, because they have to have an answer to the why question. We as Christians can simply say that we can put it in the box titled God's Sovereignty and let it go. Acceptance. God is sovereign. God is in control. And he means it for our best. His workings is for our best. Let's also be reminded this morning that peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is not the absence of conflict. We will face conflict. We may face conflict right in my own family, right in my own church house, right in my own conference, right in my own community. We will face conflict, but the inner peace and acceptance of that comes through Christ. May we accept the sinful world and realize that, you know what, I'm a part of this sinful world as well. May we allow Christ to continue to work and perfect our own hearts. And right along with this, accepting the imperfections of mankind, no matter how much of a dedicated Christian you may be and you are still, and I are still imperfect. And we have to, when we live close together and we go to church together, we rub shoulders together, we see that, don't we? The imperfections of each other. And I need to accept the imperfections of the brothers and sisters that I go to church with every Sunday. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, yes, and come short of the glory of God. Yes, so have we all." Mankind is imperfect, and we need to accept that. Some time ago, I came across this saying, and I thought it was ascribed to George Washington, but when I looked for it again, I couldn't find that for sure. But it's one that I have thought about numerous times over the past number of years. But the quote is this: "Since we cannot have mankind as we wish, we have to take them as they are." Since we cannot have mankind as we wish, we have to take them as they are. And I'm not sure what context, if that was a George Washington quote, I'm not sure what context of his life that was made in. But I've often thought about that. You know, so many times I'd like to fix the people around me. They just really need some fixing, and I'd like to just get in there and fix them. And there is a point in brotherhood where we do try to encourage each other. We try to inspire each other. We challenge each other at times. So that we could all grow in grace together. And that's good. That's necessary. That must happen. But there's also a piece of this where I need to accept you the way God made you. Your personalities maybe just doesn't mesh with mine very well. I'm not going to change that. But I can change my acceptance of you the way God made you. So we can look at those four things and consider those four things that Amy wrote, forgetting doesn't bring peace. Just working and working and working doesn't bring peace. Aloofness, withdrawal doesn't bring peace. Living in defeat doesn't bring peace either. It is only by acceptance of God that we find peace. So what are we to do with these four things that Amy tried, and this is the fifth thing, this full acceptance? Isaiah 55, 6 says what? The first opening verse, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I suppose we could look at that in the sense that while we have life, while we have physical life, God may be, the Lord may be found. But I suppose there's also a place we can get to in our spiritual lives where maybe God can't be found anymore. Sometimes maybe that's what we call sometimes the unpardonable sin. But there is either physically and also spiritually a time when the Lord may not be found anymore. But today is a day of opportunity. Seek ye the Lord. Call ye upon him while he is near, lest he get far away. Now God doesn't move away. I move away from God. Call ye upon him while he is near. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want to challenge you with that verse this morning. Great peace have they which love thy law. What is that saying? And nothing shall offend them. Is it possible to live that way? Nothing shall offend them. Well, love God. Love his law. Love his word. And I think that is the answer to not let things offend us. And I believe Amy, in her life story, was drawing closer to God. And that's why I think she was able to eventually write this poem and conclude it the way she did, that in acceptance lieth peace. God is the answer. We can't answer all the questions of life, but we accept that God had a plan. And as we accept his plan, we find peace. There's an old term called Gelassenheit. How many of you have ever heard that word? Okay, numbers of you have. That is amongst the old order people, those of Dutch speaking, is the essence. The word means the essence of acceptance. And there's no English word that this quite relates to. One definition could be a mutual yieldedness to the will of God. To the Anabaptists, hundreds of years ago, this meant a willing suffering, a willing to suffer. And then an encyclopedia would say this, and that was written back in the 1950s, I believe, on this concept of Gelassenheit and willing suffering. It says this, present-day Mennonitism has lost the idea of Gelassenheit nearly completely. Yet with the recovery of the ideal of discipleship, all of it may possibly be revived. That's a challenging thought. And I think that is something to consider. We have perhaps lost more of this than we realize. Peace. The search for peace only lies in acceptance. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Can you finish it? Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. May we fix our eyes on God this morning, recognizing him as the author and finisher of the faith, as the creator of my life and your life. And his plan for my life does not mean a bed of roses. It does not mean that everything will go well. It is not God's curse upon us when things don't go well, but may we find acceptance in the will of God in my life. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Lord, we want to give you thanks for your gracious goodness to us. We thank you for bringing us here together this morning like this, another Lord's Day morning that we can worship you, we can serve you, we can sing about you, we can bring our prayers and petitions and thanksgivings to you as a group here. And we just ask, Lord, your blessing upon this congregation here as they go in and out of these doors, as they live in this community here, as they share the gospel to the lost souls about. Lord, I pray that you would speak through them, that they would be an example of willingness to suffer, of willingness to accept difficult things and still therein find peace. But Lord, I pray that most of all we would find the inner peace that comes from having our sins forgiven and having our sins washed away through the blood of your Son. And we just thank you, Lord, for that spiritual provision which you made for us this morning. May we continue to look to Jesus as the example which we are to follow. Lord, help us to be obedient to his life, to his example, to his teachings each and every day of our lives. Just grant us again another day that we can live and serve you today. Lord, I again pray that you would just bless each one of us here. Bless us as where we go from here to our various places. May your Spirit continue to work in and amongst us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.